Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here today with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
Bruce, we are gathered here today to render a judgment on Mikko Koskinen. This is our keep, hold, or fold podcast on each Oilers player, and where we go through the lineup and give our opinion on their performance and what the Oilers should do with them going forward. So, Bruce, let's start out each with a good thing about Koskinen and then a bad thing, and then we'll go to a number. So what is your good thing about Mikko Koskinen?
My good thing is he's really big. 6'7", gigantic netminder, covers a lot of the cage. He's one of that school of netminder. Obviously a little bit tongue in cheek there, but we'll flesh out his pluses and minuses as we go. But he's part of that school of netminders that I guess Peter Chiarelli really liked. That had, you know, Anders Nilsson come through town, then Jonas the Monster Gustafsson, and then Mikko Koskinen, who we're hoping is the best of the three. Not to mention big guys like Shane Starrett and so on that they signed for their to come up through their system.
He is a big guy. There's no doubt about it.
I must have used 20 or more synonyms for huge. I called him gargantuan. I called him Leviathan. I called him, Brobdingnagian from Gulliver's Travels, all those things.
Yeah, he is huge. All right, everything about him, including his paycheck at this point. So, Bruce, let's be honest. We'd all be feeling a lot better about Mikko Koskinen without that contract attached to him.
Yeah,
but we'll get into that in a second. So my good thing is, and I'll tell you what, Bruce, there was a time when he first came to Edmonton and was playing, seizing the starting job from Cam Talbot. I mean, he was brought in because there were serious question marks about Cam Talbot. And the Oilers needed not someone who could just back up Cam Talbot, but maybe take over the number one job in case Cam Talbot failed. And that's exactly what Mikko Koskinen did. Cam Talbot was mediocre at best this year. Koskinen came in, and I swear, Bruce, there was a point in December, halfway through December, where I was thinking, man, the Oilers have solved their number one goalie problem. Mm-hmm. Koskinen, in that first series of games, looked so good. I mean, he looked like the second coming of Ken Dryden, flashing a, you know, sashaying across the net, this huge hulking man, flying across the net to make spectacular saves now and then, and was generally making all the saves. I think he had like a 930 save percentage at some point.
For
like
a
he
while,
was
like yeah.
In the top five in the league. Colt creeping up to the, you know, near number one. He just looked for all the world like everything we needed in that since Cam Talbot's game went south in 2017-18. So let's just leave it at that. That's the good thing about Mikko Koskinen. He can get – so I guess to put it in perspective, the guy can get hot, and for periods of 10 games in a row, can look bloody good. He can look like he's a real NHL goalie. And if that 10-game run correspondent with a playoff run, that wouldn't be bad. That would be okay.
Ideally a 20-game run, but yeah.
Ideally, let's not get crazy here, man. Like, what are you on?
I've been running on hope for about 10 years now, David.
Yeah, hope. Pretty weak brew at this point.
Mm-hmm.
In Edmonton. All right, Bruce. Your bad thing about the big and sometimes hot Mikko Koskinen.
Well, the bad thing is that he's sometimes cold. And, you know, hot and cold was where I was going with this. And you already covered the hot part. And he was unbelievable on home ice at the start of the year. You couldn't get a seed by the guy. I mean, his first home game, his first home start, that wasn't until November 1st. But once they finally gave him a game, 40 save shutout against Chicago Blackhawks in a 4-0 win. And from there, he just kept beating teams on home ice and keep posting 92-95% save percentages game after game at home through, as you say, about the middle of December. And then Tampa Bay came calling, and then things sort of went hard south for a while. And then for whatever reason, they chose middle of January to sign him to the contract, even though at that point the jury was far, far out. And we'll talk about the contract a little bit more later. He bounced back. He had another hot stretch after Talbot got traded. And then as he continued to play game after game after game, back-to-backs every game for the last 2 months of the season, he eventually wore down and he again had a poor finish. So,
yeah. Bruce, yeah. So in the immortal words of Katy Perry, because you're hot, then you're cold. You're yes, then you're no. You're in, then you're out. You're up, then you're down. You're wrong when it's right. It's black and it's white. So yeah, it's the same player, so it's kind of hard to... I guess with a boyfriend, that's not too good. And with a starting goalie, it's not too good either. It doesn't work. You need the faithful, always good, always on their game goalie. Uh-huh. Be your number one goalie. So yeah. My bad thing, Bruce.
Yeah, you know, your boy, the goalie isn't even a boyfriend, girlfriend. You are married to your goalie. They better.
Are you, Alan?
They better be good.
Sometimes. In terms of a... Yeah.
Upset.
Yeah, there's some jokes about divorce.
Yeah.
And about buying out... That might apply to buying out a number one goalie. I can't remember the exact...
Ouch.
Anyways, it's like, why is divorce so costly? Because it's worth it. Maybe that applies to buying out Mikko Koskinen one of these days.
That stings.
Yeah, man, it's true. You are married to, like, he's the mainstay. And if he's just not, you know, got to pick up his damn socks. All right. Bruce, his bad thing. So initially, I thought, you know, what's not to like about Mikko Koskinen? Just didn't seem to have any obvious holes. And then the horrendous one just kind of popped up, and it was his glove hand, to the point where it became a fixation of Oilers fans. Every time there was a shot to his glove hand, you were thinking, is he gonna get it this time? He just seemed to be picked apart, high glove side, as the year went on. And particularly bad was on the power play. They would pass the puck over to the right half wall. And Koskinen, he just, again, I can see Elias Pettersson whipping him like a, beat him like a rented mule, as Darren Detition used to say, and probably still does, to that glove hand. Just again and again, Bruce. He just couldn't get it. He couldn't get it up fast enough in the air. He was totally beat constantly. And he couldn't look through the screen. And then he seemed to get better at it a little bit. You know, it seemed like he got a handle on it, but wow. And he seemed to have trouble catching the puck with that hand too. Just making a catch. Like, do they not play baseball in Finland? That's what I was wondering. Do they not play football? Maybe he just didn't do a lot of catching as a kid. But there's been lots of great Finnish goalies, right? There's been no end of great Finnish goalies. So this seemed more like a Koskinen thing. Like, he's 30 years old and you can't make a save to your glove side. So it did seem a little bit odd. Like, what's going on? Like, if this is really this huge a flaw, how could you have gotten this far in hockey? So I was left perplexed by it, and I'm still a little bit worried about it, because it's one of those things that fans glob onto. And it can become toxic in Edmonton for this guy.
Well, fans grab onto it, and opposition snipers grab onto it. And they were picking that hole. It looked like pretty deliberately they were targeting that top left on Koskinen. When they had a chance to pick their spot, that would be the one they picked.
Yeah. So that's his bad thing. I don't know if he's figured that out. You know, if he figures that out, there was the odd kind of weird angle goal. That seemed, I don't know, more technical than any technical problem, technical difficulties. Seemed to get a handle on those too. So he's.
Well, part of that was a change in ice surface. I mean, he played in North America last in 2011-12 season, and then he went back overseas for like 7 years and came over almost 30 years old. So I guess it would take him a while. It's like learning to drive on the wrong side of the road kind of thing, you know. And the older in life you are, or learning to speak a new language, the older in life you are, the harder it comes to adapt to those kind of things. So he had issues with shots from the goal line, even below the goal line. And it took him a while to kind of get his bearings on the new rink, I thought.
Yeah, I suddenly had a bit of empathy for Koskinen. Last year I went to England, and for the first time in my life, I drove on the wrong. We rented a car, and mm-hmm. I drove on the wrong, had to drive on the other side. And mm-hmm. I think I'm still feeling the traumatic effects of that day. Man, that was stressful.
Strange.
Poor old Koskinen. All right, his number, Bruce.
Oh, yeah, mine is... 3x$4.5 million, which is the extension he signed around January the 20th or so of last year. Now, as a guy on a one-year contract, they couldn't even negotiate with him until January 1st. And then they had a kind of a six-month window between January and June where it was pretty clear from day one they were going to sign one of Koskinen or Talbot and not the other. And then Chiarelli jumped the gun and signed him in January when, like I say, his play was kind of indifferent at that point. And that accomplished two things, really neither of them that good, because the other thing was it told Cam Talbot, you're the odd man out here, Cam. And then oddly, right after that, Hitchcock decided to run Talbot in net for a few straight starts. And there was just kind of chaos in the crease there. Anyway, Koskinen, whatever his bargain contract was last year, 1 year, $2.5 million, you can say he earned that. But now Oilers are on the hook for this guy for the next 3 years at basically number one starting goalie money. And he was signed on the basis of 30-ish games of NHL experience, 30 years old. And let's lock him up for 3 years. So I know that was the last thing Chiarelli did before he got fired. And I know Bob Nicholson closed ranks and said it was a group decision, unlike all the other decisions where Chiarelli was apparently some kind of lone wolf. But I think the optics would have been so horrible that the manager was on the firing list, and yet they let him do a deal like that on his own, that Nicholson had to own some of it. But I'd really like to have been a fly on the wall throughout that process to see how that really went down.
You mean the fly on the wall of the great negotiators room?
Mm-hmm.
Office room, yeah, sure.
I have one of those Tyler Seguin trade cameras in place to see who said what and who really.
Chiarelli never met an overpay that he didn't love, Bruce. He really didn't.
Yeah.
How much?
If they signed him for 2 years, even 3.5 or something, you could say, yeah, well, you can get another goalie at close to that same money and have him fight it out. But 4.5, you can't afford to have. $9 or $10 million in your goal crease. So the guy you're paying 4.5, it better be your top guy.
And now they're left exactly where they were last year with the number one goalie heading in, although this is on a longer term deal than Talbot had at the time, where they can't rely on him and they've got to bring in another goalie who can challenge for the number one job. They don't need a backup goalie. They need a number one goalie.
They need a 1B at minimum.
Yeah, they really do. And I think they know that. I don't think they're kidding themselves about that. I think that I've heard Holland talk about goalie being a priority, if I'm not mistaken. He's consistently, like everyone's going on about defense, blah, blah, blah. Like, come on. They're not, the owners aren't, I don't see them trading for like last their list, man. That's not happening. They got to get some wingers and mostly they got to get a goalie. And they really got to get a goalie. And did I mention they need to get a goalie?
Mm-hmm. Did I mention that Ken Holland is an old goalie himself? Like he knows.
He knows. I agree, Bruce. It's clear. Every comment that he's made, I think it's their main priority.
In Detroit, they signed a backup, Jonathan Bernier, $3 million. Thought they'd have competent NHL caliber net mining for 82 games. And I would anticipate Edmonton probably spending somewhere in that range for their number 2 or 1A or 1B or whatever it turns out he is.
Okay, here's my number, Bruce. It's 0.906, which is Koskinen's save percentage. I think it's 4 or 5, maybe 6 percentage points below the league average. Didn't check the league average.
I think it was 9-11 this year.
Yeah. So I'm keep clearing my throat here. I'm working on a little bit of a cold of some sort. So 906 save percentage. The interesting thing about Koskinen's save percentages in his career is, and one thing that explains the longevity of his career is that he's usually got the best save percentage on his team. Like he plays on a team that will have two or three or four goalies in that season. And in all but a couple of the seasons, his 10 years or so pro, he's had the best save percentage. And that's what we saw again this year, Bruce, with Stolarz in six games at 897 and Cam Talbot at 893, which was, you know, that's horrendous. Brutal. That's why he lost the starting job. And is going to be struggling to get an NHL contract, although I imagine he'd be a good backup for somebody, Cam Talbot. So Koskinen, maybe, I don't know if you'd bring any chance they'd bring him back to challenge Koskinen this year. I doubt it. So that's a mediocre, really mediocre save percentage. You're doomed if your starting number one goalie save percentage is that low in the NHL, essentially. You're not going anywhere. And the Oilers need to do better on it. So, Bruce, let's move on to the...
9-10. Well, 9-10 was the league average this year. So he's a few points below that.
So that's your average. And for your starting goalie,
you want to be 9-15, yeah.
Yeah, 9-12, 9-13, you could probably make the playoffs. 9-14. And that's after that, you know, that start where he was 9-30, right, at one point after about 10 games.
Well, you know, if Mikko Koskinen had made 10 or 12 more saves, we'd probably be in the playoffs.
If he had made 10 or 12 more saves, Bruce, he'd have a 10-year, $10 million per year contract. Peter Shirelli would still be GM. All right. Keep hold or fold, Bruce.
Well, with both hands tied behind my back, I'm going to say keep. And what the hell are you going to do? Trade him? Buy him out? I mean, those aren't even options, Dave.
Exactly. He's a keeper. He's a keeper. Like, he's a keeper in the Milan Lucic school. But it's, you know, more like Milan Lucic after his first year in Edmonton, where he was okay. All crap, and it weakened the playoffs. And you're thinking, who's the real Milan Lucic?
Right.
Then we got our answer. But there's, I actually have a bit more hope that Koskinen will turn it around next year and be a decent goalie. I mean, he's not that old. He's what, 31 now? Got it?
Yeah, I think he just turned 30.
Let me just see here. We got his hockey DB. 30. He'll be 31 in July.
Oh, yeah, this July. So, yeah, next season he'll be 31 all season.
So lots of NHL goalies at age 31 are doing okay. And and they're starting goalies, and they're starting goalies for a few more years. So there's and let's say part of his problem was acclimation to North America.
Yep.
The ice surface. And then he developed some kind of hitch with his glove hand that isn't maybe always there. And I'm being really hopeful now. But there's a chance he'll be a 913 save percentage goalie in 45 to 50 games. There's a chance. There's maybe a 50-50 chance, Bruce?
Close.
Yeah, maybe.
Close. I mean,
that's within the realm of.
It's not a certain bet, but it's not. I mean, some people were looking up the buyout, Koskinen's buyout, the day after he signed the contract, which is a little bit extreme, but.
They got Oiler fanitis there.
Yeah. Anyway, that's not a pretty picture either. But
so there's also a chance that after he'll be like Cam Talbot and he'll have an 890 save percentage in 30 games, right? Probably an equal chance, correct? That's who he is.
I don't know what 890, but you know, below league average, certainly there's every chance. And I think for this team to take it up a notch, they need a minimum league average, better than league average net minding.
So he's a keeper with an asterisk, and And mm-hmm. But we both agree that in terms of the goalie position as a whole, mm-hmm. this is where they need to,
right?
They need to bring in another goalie who can challenge for the number one job.
Right. We're only doing one podcast and one review on goalies because the Oilers at this moment really have one NHL goalie, and he's got 50 odd NHL games in his career, and so they'll be bringing in someone with experience. I'd say 100%. There's Shane Starrett, under other circumstances, he might get a look at the number two next year, but not under these circumstances, no way.
No, well, and under the way he played in the playoffs, Shane Starrett kind of, if he had led his team to a Calder Cup, he might have been in the conversation, I think, as the backup, but he really struggled in the playoffs. And when those big goalies are bad, man, they look really bad. Maybe all goalies look really bad when they're bad. I mean, Laurent Brossoit was not that, he was average size for an NHL goalie, and he looked terrible when he was bad. You always look terrible when you're letting in C-grade scoring chance shots. So,
yep.
All right, let's leave it there, Bruce. Thanks for talking today.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.